I can't keep myself.
Strings.
Yeah. Oh, oh. They don't clap. Whenever I.
All over the world, every new day brings.
All right, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and today is the 10th of September in the year of the Lord 2020, and today is World Suicide Prevention Day. Of course, we've been doing quite a lot in the area of suicide prevention through the organization called Suicide is No Solution, and therefore today, as promoted, as advertised, as publicized, we will be discussing the issue, the all-important issue of suicide, the menace of suicide, not just in Nigeria but globally. And we have today with us the man who is going to discuss with us, and I'm talking about the former chief medical director of the psychiatrist hospital Yaba, Dr. Harry Akonde. Sorry, Dr. Harry Ladapo. Play that song again for me. Let's use it to breathe it. I Can't Come and Kill Myself by Timaya. That is what we are talking about today. Nobody should be killing himself or herself. And we'll be talking about the World Suicide Prevention Day in the year of the Lord 2020. Let me share with you some data, some statistics as we go into this discussion. Yes, we are talking now about 800 people dying yearly, annually in the world through suicide. And of course, Nigeria is number one in West Africa. Nigeria is seventh in Africa and 15th in the world. All right, without wasting much time, I believe that we can get a lot more data in terms of what we should be doing in Nigeria to ensure that we prevent suicide. So this program is powered by Suicide is No Solution Initiative. And of course, that SINS initiative, we are talking about suicide, preventing suicide in Nigeria and generally the world over. So roll that song for me again so that we can get in the right mood to discuss suicide prevention in Nigeria.
This life, I can't keep myself. Oh, I can't keep myself. Allow me to flex. This life, I can't keep myself. I can't keep myself. Oh, I can't keep myself. Allow me to flex. Many years me I done the go. Rock the mic, me I rock the show. Many hit songs when I go.
All right, we have Dr. Harry Ladapo with us. We will be discussing in the next 45 minutes about the menace of suicide in Nigeria. Dr. Harry Ladapo, you're welcome to Spirit of Nigeria Radio. How are you today, sir?
Well, thank you very much for inviting me, and congratulations on this very important day of suicide prevention in our nation. Thank you.
All right, okay, the first question, the figures are alarming when it comes to suicide in Nigeria. Nigeria is number one in West Africa, seventh in Africa, and 15th all over the world. How did we arrive here?
Well, don't forget that you are talking about statistics.
Yes, sir.
And Nigeria, with a large population of the inhabitants, with the various cultures and traditions. And also that Nigeria is a society in transition, a nation in transition, with no definitive social status that you can put into it. So you should expect that the statistics should be high in Nigeria than elsewhere.
All right, but if you go further with the statistics, they tell me that it is per 100,000 people, per 100,000 of the population, but it doesn't reduce it anyway. Okay, so let's start from the very beginning. Why would anybody want to kill himself or herself?
Well, you see, when you talk about people killing themselves, or what you call suicide,
yes,
you are talking in terms of somebody wanting to end his life. If it's successful, that is suicide.
Mm.
If it's not successful, then it is what you call parasuicide or attempted suicide. And when he wakes up, then that's another problem again. According to the law, you are not supposed to kill yourself in a Nigerian situation. So once you wake up and you are not dead, then they can charge you for criminal activities of wanting to kill yourself. By and large, when you see issues of people wanting to kill themselves, it actually has its own problems with it. For instance, why should I want to kill myself? If all the things are going on well with me, for instance, I can feed well, I can eat well, I can do whatever I want in a society. But when society actually has problem with the inhabitants, then you can see some people wanting to think that life is no more worth living for them. Culturally, you know, in our society, in the culture, suicide can be a way of trying to help yourself if there are some problems you have in society, like you've lost some things, and then because of that, you thought that the only sense is that you should just send it up and everything will be just like that. That's in the olden days. But in the present circumstances we are today, we are in a state of anomaly whereby things are not working well the way people want. Actually, people, the young generation, that is the statistic. If you look at the statistics of people who die, they are more or less people in the working age, adults. That's about 70% of them are working age adults. These are people who are going to work with stress of daily living. You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, they are operational related risk factors, for instance. They have access to firearms, you understand? Pills that they can take. They have access to high bridges where they can jump down and then enter into the lagoon or turbulent bridge, as recorded in many cases. And many of them have equipment that they can use to hit themselves, like knives and so on and so forth. So these are some of those things that are important. But let us look at those factors that actually affect the people who kill themselves. Mostly are operational. For instance, there's high stress, you know what I mean, and high pressure at work for most people. Look at the way Nigeria is today now. Suicide, of course, is common in Lagos than anywhere else in this country now because of the stress of daily living, pressure, stress of work, the environment, you know what I mean? Then there's also socioeconomic equivalence. There's inequalities in societies. You understand me? And these inequalities, they are challenges which actually affect this work-life balance in many of our young people who are going to work. They don't rest well. They don't rest very well, and it affects their mental well-being. You understand me? Yes. Mental well-being is very, very important in issues of suicide. Unfortunately, many of the cases are underreported. You understand me? Many of the cases of suicide in Nigeria are underreported. You just hear somebody sleeps and did not wake up. You understand me?
Yes.
Somebody took some overdose and he doesn't wake up. Some may not even know the types of things they should take to kill themselves. And then they wake up and say, am I alive? Where am I? He finds himself on the hospital ward.
Wow.
Are you listening to me now?
I'm with you.
Now, when we are taking history, which is very, very important in suicide, the issue that is important mostly is when you talk about, is life worth living for you?
Wow.
Most people will say, well, life is not worth living. Why is life not worth living for you? He said, look at my environment. I have nothing to talk about. All my life has just been in shambles. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Look at, I cannot pay my fees. I cannot pay my rent. What am I living for? I've enjoyed my life enough. Just let me die. You understand me? And of course, that is the evidence that individual must be admitted immediately. It's an emergency. It's an emergency when you have that type of a thing. It's an emergency. There are some people, for instance, who actually want to show that they want assistance. That is seeking attention. Attention seekers. You understand me?
Yes.
They don't actually want to die, but they will just say, they do things that make people, like, for instance, you take some tablets, pills, for instance, and you open the door and you write notes. You understand me? People will read the door and say, oh, yeah, this. Then you now sit him down. Why? What is the problem? That's attention-seeking behavior. It's common among young adults, too, in Nigeria today. Especially those that are detailed with detailed lovers. For instance,
yes.
Some will go to the chemist, look at the prescription. Say, I say, please, I want to buy Valium, for instance, benzodiazepines. Yes. And they don't know that benzodiazepine does not heal. It will only make you to sleep for some hours, and then you wake up. You understand me? And that is the reason why people know that it's not actually efficacious for killing themselves now. The pharmaceutical societies have done so well in this country for the first time that there is no way you can buy any of these benzodiazepines without doctor's prescription. So doctor must examine you, and he must find out why do you need to so and so of these drugs. For how long do you want to take it? That is one thing for attention seekers. The other aspect of the attention seeker is that some people call their veins, they call the wrist. For instance, they let out blood, fainting tendencies, and then people will find out that Kunle is in the room, he's bleeding. You understand me? Yes. Then you wake up, you know there's a problem. You understand me? Unfortunately, nowadays, the commonest cause of people killing themselves, what they use now, is what they call sniper. They put it in their food and eat. You understand me? I've taught it all over. It's feeling of hopelessness, helplessness, and worthlessness. I'm not worthy of this life. I'm hopeless. My life is helpless. There's nobody to assist me. So why am I doing this world? Let me just go ahead and take this. You understand my point?
Right, yeah, because I mean, you mentioned the pesticide, and one of the things that we are saying today is that pesticides are not for suicide. And even the people who produce or manufacture them don't produce it for suicide at all. So I don't know how we arrived at it. Before then, it used to be electrolytes, battery water. People also die by hanging. And so, like you said, people also cut or slash their wrists.
Now, the issue is this. The issue about suicide is that death is very frightening. Are you listening to me? Have you tried to kill yourself before?
No, I will never try it.
Never. That's good.
I can't come and kill myself like that. So very good. I will kill myself.
You have never used a knife or blade to cut yourself.
No, I won't do that.
It's very painful. So death in itself is a very frightening experience. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
so when you put a rope around your neck, for instance, and then that pain and the frightening experiences that people get is actually very bad. So they take some drugs to be able to relax themselves so that they just die. That's by hanging. Are you getting my point?
Yeah.
Now, those other people who go by the bridges, they must have taken some very hot alcoholic drinks. So that they or tie some blocks on their neck. A lot of these are medical legal implications of it. And their forensic
I hear you, sir, Dr. Professor Arilanapo. I hear you very, but what are we going to do about this menace? What is the solution?
Now, we have a lot of challenges in this country. What is very important about it is, number one, you have to promote mental wellness of the people. Mental wellness of our people. You know what I mean?
Yes.
What do you call about when you take mental wellness is that you provide supportive and healthy working environment for people in this country to survive. Survival is very important. I'm a medical doctor practicing for over some 30-something years. You know what I mean? You can see that in this environment, a lot of, even now, you can see my colleagues are, many of them are on strike in many states right now. Because you cannot make ends meet anymore. You know what I mean? Medical profession is an enviable and noble profession. Unfortunately, many of the doctors are now like, they are not just like third class citizens in this nation. And that's why many of them are checking out and running away. It's a way of avoiding suicidal ideation or ideas. You understand my point? Now, the same thing happens to all the workers, that is professionals. What about those who don't have opportunities to travel? What will happen to them? Well, it has to be at the state and federal level to assist in promoting wellness, mental wellness of our people. That is looking at what are the things that people need most especially. Why do we run to foreign countries? They also die in those countries too.
Yes, they
but
do.
But they die in England, they die in America. What? But it's sophisticated suicide they have, what I can call. Either drug overdose, you understand me? Many of them taking illicit drugs, taking overdose of cocaine, you understand me? Taking overdose of drugs, or maybe the business has crashed. Wall Street is crashing, and then there's no way you can cope. You just hit yourself with a bullet, and then you just die. Or what you call Russian roulette. You understand me? It's common among the Europeans. Yes, the statistics all over the world is more or less the same. Yes, whether it's Africa or whatever. But yes, the major problem, medical problem that is there, psychiatry, is depression.
Yes.
Depression.
Depression.
Unfortunately, many years ago, Europeans do not believe that Africans have depressive tendencies, depression tendencies, that they are sick.
Mm.
Because they see us jolly, dancing, jolly with life, you know.
They just say we are the happiest life. People on earth in Nigeria.
Yes, we are the happiest people, but unfortunately, many of us have the same problem as depression when they started to look at the mental health status of Africans, especially the people living in the urban centers.
Mm.
People living in the rural centers also have their own problems too. You understand me? Somebody has taken your wife, you understand me, in the village, and there's nothing you can do about it. You understand me?
Yes.
The essence is that, well, what is life now? This is shameful. Mm. I'm helpless. You want to kill yourself. You may have attention seeking behavior. Maybe the wife will come back that he wants to kill himself. Let me go back and settle with him. But if that does not work, then he looks for ways of ending his life and finish up.
Okay, let us look at some of the signs, you know, that, you know,
yes,
would see, well, within somebody an individual who is going through that depression.
Yes, somebody who wants to kill himself, you understand me, may not show any reasonable sign. He may even be happy the day he's going to die, because sometimes it's a planned situation. He must have been planning it over time. What method should I try to? So he wants to relate with his family. He wants to relate, reconcile with his friends. You understand my point now? And then before, and they say, yesterday we saw this guy, and today he's gone. And then we see all the pills that he had taken overnight. That's one aspect, of course. That is a normal person. But people with depression, you understand me, for instance, which are psychotic in nature, they go through what we call the delusions and hallucinations. Hallucinatory experiences are very, very funny. For instance, it tells you that you kill yourself. One, that it should tell you, it tells you to jump. There's a moving vehicle. That you cross the road when the vehicle is moving. It happens. A lot of our drivers, downfield drivers who run this interstate, have psychiatric patients. Are you listening to me?
I'm with you, sir.
Who actually are under the influence of drugs that are hallucinogens. That is to say, drugs that give them this different type of perception.
Yeah.
Telling them history about their life, that look, jump, jump, jump.
Ah.
Ruminations. We are ruminations. You understand me? You ruminate it with morbid thoughts. That is the thoughts that are not healthy to you as depressed people. Especially the bipolar patients, the people with depressive psychosis. You understand me? They exhaust themselves to the extent that at the end of the day, they end up killing themselves.
All right, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, giving you positive Nigerian energy, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. We are the authentic source of Nigerian information. Today is World Suicide Prevention Day, year 2020, and we've been discussing with Dr. Harry Ladapo, former Chief Medical Director, Psychiatric Hospital Yaba. Some people call it Yaba Opausi. Some people call it Yaba Left. Dr. Ladapo, you're still on the show. All right, continue. We were talking earlier, you know, or trying to analyze the example that I gave, or the scenario that I created with a man who wanted to kill himself to spite his wife.
Yes. Now, let me tell you the fact again that, you know, suicide rates actually also increase with age.
Yeah.
Right? For instance, if you look at the way people are dying now, you will find out that old people in their 70s are even begging to be killed, euthanasia, in some advanced countries. You understand me?
Yes.
But in our environment, the suicide rate is even low in developing countries than in advanced societies. For instance, people in Eastern European countries.
Right, Dr. Ladapo, just hold on. I have a caller on the line. Hello, good day. How are you, man? Who is calling and where you're calling from? All right, okay. So, what's your question, comment, or what you want to contribute on the program?
psychologist, okay, and I've been listening to the program, and I think one of the major problems we have in Nigeria, I mean, as a person, because I did my first degree in psychology in Nigeria, people don't know the difference between a psychologist and a psychiatrist.
Okay.
And most of the time, I mean, you always think that there's a stigma. So, somebody with a psychiatrist, you already stigmatized. So, people shy with difference. So, I think one of the major things in Nigeria we should do is actually to bring an awareness. Because, I mean, you cannot go straight from having a headache to breaking the egg. There are processes. So I think one of the processes that young psychiatrists should, because I did an internship there, is to make people aware and know that there is no stigma in going to see a psychologist. Yes. So it's just a picture of because people already
believe
once you're going to the psychiatrist,
what is that? I can't hear.
All right, no problem. I'll give you the question. Doctor, yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right. Thank you very much, Lola. Let me put your question in proper perspective. The line was wobbling a bit there. All right. She is a psychiatrist trained in Nigeria before she went to South Africa. And she's talking about the stigma attached to going to see a psychologist or was still a psychiatrist. You know, we have issues, you know, cultural issues about, look, once you go to see a psychiatrist, it's like, I mean, you are mad. Once you go to see a psychiatrist, you know, and she's calling for more awareness for mental health so that people can say, oh, there's something wrong. I can walk into a psychiatrist clinic. I can also go see a psychologist. Because if you say, your daughter needs a psychologist, the first thing any mother will say is blood of Jesus, not my portion. And that will also now take me to the role of faith-based organizations, religious bodies, when it comes to this issue of mental health. Just take the two together.
Yeah, well, these are very some of the challenges that we are facing in mental health, and that is the reason why I was talking that there is need for provision of supportive systems. You understand me to assist Nigerians in all their entirety. The aspect that you are talking about is stigma. The stigma is a natural phenomenon. It's not only in Nigeria; it's all over the world. I trained in Russia. And I did my psychiatry in Edinburgh University. And I worked in the United States before coming to Lagos and then rising through the ranks. So I know the stigma is all over the world. Are you getting my point? The issue is that we should start to destigmatize mental health.
Okay. I think that's our point.
Destigmatizing it is very important. You can come to psychiatry Yaba, for instance. The setting you cannot see a patient at all. The way we have designed that concept. It's a concept that we have designed to destigmatize. There are social issues that we have put in place, you understand me? Whereby the psychiatric patients and relatives and patients and staff, they meet with together and they relax and they talk and they relax and, you know. So it calls for that aspect. It's the name that they are talking about. And that is the reason why, as a professional, we have been asking the government to give us the leeway. Are you listening to me now?
I'm with you,
in
sir.
Passing mental health bill in this nation.
Okay.
That mental health bill, when it is passed, we actually work on this destigmatizing the concept. For instance, the amount of money government is spending on mental health is very, very little or none at all. And that is the reason why some of these states, governors and governments are not even assisting mental health services in their state. I can remember many years ago that there was a situation whereby a governor wanted to donate a generator for a hospital in his environment. And the thing is that one of the aides said, if you donate a generator, who is going to manage it? That is to say, he believes that everybody, including the workers, are all mad people. I listened to me that he could not even manage it. And that actually in itself is criminal,
yeah,
I believe.
That's ignorance.
But you see, in advanced societies, look, almost British government, because of social issues, they have cleared their cities of destitutes.
I'm
just making my point.
I'm with you.
Here in our environment, the first thing to do if you want to attract tourists into your country is to make sure that your street is clean. Look at the broad streets in Lagos. Touts are there. Many of them have psychosocial issues, at least accommodation problem, poverty, and so on. So if you clean them up and you keep them a conducive environment and supportive system, you will see that people, a lot of people will actually live very well in this country. A lot of my nurses here have actually gone to Europe. And when they get there, they are living very, very well. And many of them, maybe they have maybe 10 patients to themselves, and they manage to train them from the streets. That's why Europeans are taking off all our colleagues from this country to establish themselves there, to prevent suicide, to live well, to make sure that they provide a supportive system, and they provide health working environment for their workers. The illness is curable. I can say it. Mental illness is curable. People with suicide, for instance, with depression, we can cure it. Because what I said is, once you have that sense of life is not worth living for you, it's an emergency. And as an emergency, there are supportive methods by which you can cure that individual through counseling. You understand me? Through medications. Because we know that many of these conditions have some issues with hormonal problems that they have. They are made like the serotonin, the adrenaline, the dopamine system, in the system, which are actually working. It's not in your own making. Either through genetic, through family matters, that is there. Yeah, you know, you inherited from the family members in those days, and you still have it. So you see some families, they say suicide is common in this family. They kill themselves there, which means that there is a problematic conditions in their family, whereby they are killing themselves all the time.
All right, sir. Hold on. There's another caller on the line. Hello.
Hello, good day.
Good day.
Yes.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Texas.
All right, you're calling from Texas. What's your own name?
My name is Christabel.
Okay, Christabel, all the way from Texas. Okay, let's hear you. What's your comment, question, or contribution to the program?
Yes, I've been in that position before. Like, I've been depressed before. And, yes, being depressed is not something that you just... It just happens. So it's not really that you have to do something to get depressed. When you start thinking, you start doing one or two, you know. But getting out of my depression, I did more of listening to music, because music is a food to the soul. So I did more of listening to music. I talked to myself, and I took a long walk. It actually helped me.
All right, let's see if it has the professional backing of Dr. Harry Ladapo. Doctor, did you hear her?
What about?
Okay, she said she's been through depression, okay, but the way she got out of it was through music and long walks. She was walking. Music, you know, became the therapy for her, or well, she used music as therapy.
Very good. This is where faith-based approach has come from.
Point I became obese, but I have to just cut it down.
Okay, doctor, there's this thing about people getting depressed, that they tend to eat a lot, they chew a lot of them, and they add weight. Is it real?
It's real. It's real. Depression can make you to eat and become, that's a bulimia.
All right, thank you, Christabel. Let's take another call. Okay, go ahead, doctor.
And depression can also make you not to eat and lose weight also at the same time.
Wow. So it's either way.
It's either way. But the faith base I mentioned, but that lady that just talked has actually been able to work on her own self-esteem by making sure that she listens to music and doing workout through exercises.
Yes.
Same thing happens to those with faith base. People who go to churches and mosques. You know what I mean? And that's why we are very lucky in our environment here with all these people who's going to cool states.
Yeah, but the leaders of the churches, let me say the staff that do the counseling, are they professionals? Are they equipped to counsel people?
Counseling can be used in our, it's cultural, it's culturally oriented, culture, depending on culture and our tradition.
All right, okay, hold on, Doc. There's another caller on the line. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Hello, good day.
Hello.
Hello, good day. What's your name and where are you calling from? I can hear you. All right, the line is off right now. Okay, Doctor, continue, please. You were talking about the cultural influence and,
yes,
and the faith-based
cultural influence. Yes. That, for instance, we are predominantly in this area of country, which is Yoruba-speaking environment.
All right. All right, the call has come again. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Temitope Adishafe.
Okay, Temitope, where are you calling from and what's your comment or contribution?
I'm calling from Lagos, Nigeria.
All right, from Lagos, Nigeria, Temitope Adishafe.
Yes.
All right.
I have a question.
Yeah, what's the question?
Yes, I wanted to ask that probably considering or if I'm going through depression and I'm having suicidal thoughts, but I don't want to talk to anybody because it's a bit personal. What else can I do?
All right, did you hear that, doctor?
What happened?
All right, she says she if one is going through suicidal thoughts and the person doesn't want to talk to anybody, what is the solution to that person's problem?
Well, that's mutism. It's mute, isn't it?
Mutism.
When it's mute like that, that's dangerous.
It's dangerous.
But somebody who is dangerous and not talking can he can actually flare up anyhow. You know what I mean? And that is actually dangerous to that individual himself. And that, what you can do is that, as I mentioned, once you're having that idea of life not worth living, that is emergency. And that is when family must intervene. You understand me? Possibly. For instance, it happens to women of our age group, most of them, if they are not having good relationship with their spouse or with their family members. But in the African setting, our Yoruba setting, we have a way of assisting ourselves. You understand me? But in those days, when we are very close, just closely knit family union, which is not actually working now anymore. Everybody lives in a flat and apartments, you know what I mean? So that people don't know what actually is going on within you and your immediate environment. And that is the reason why we need to make sure that we do a lot of advocacy.
All right, Ducky, just hold your thoughts again. Hello.
Hi.
Hello, good day. How are you? What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hello, I can hear you. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hello, we can hear you. All right, I think we have to... All right, let's cut this caller. All right, please, Doc, continue, sir.
So in that case, I, for instance, I advocate for my clients sometimes to attend those faith-based crusades. You understand me?
Yeah.
Because it's very helpful and therapeutic. Are you listening to me?
I'm with
when you,
sir.
Clap, you dance, you clap, 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 and dance. Actually, it suppresses depression. That's my one. Number two, fasting also. Are you listening to me?
I'm with you, sir.
Fasting also has been noted through some studies to assist with depression. That is, people with depressed patients, you can ask them to do some fasting. With water. Yes, water fasting. Lancet and all those things have been publishing it over the time. You understand me? And it helps them. So if it is relatively done, that with prayer and the way they do their own faith, because you cannot deny our people.
All right, Doctor, we have another caller on the line. Hello, good day. Where are you calling from and what's your name?
My name is Cindy. I'm calling from the UK.
All right, Toby from the UK. What's your comment, question, or contribution?
Yeah, I've been listening to your program and I'm really enjoying the sessions from the doctor. But I just want to know, when you're going through depression, what exactly are the next steps that you're supposed to take so it doesn't lead to suicide?
Can you take that again? When you're in depression, what happens?
Yeah, what are the things you do so it doesn't lead you to contemplating suicide?
All right. Okay, I get that. All right, doctor, she's asking, when you are depressed, what are the things that need to be done to prevent that person from proceeding or leading to suicide?
Well, before you can get to that level of suicide, you must have been having some signs and symptoms of depression. Let's just say low mood, loss of interest in the environment, loss of interest at work, not communicating with people, low sexual drive, and all those things are affecting individual. Plus, the fact that that individual is not sufficiently connected with people, those are signs. Wow. But when it gets to that level of suicidal ideation or ideas that you're having in your mind, then it is becoming a major problem. All along, it has always started, it must have been starting with anxiety and being anxious about life. You understand me? Yes. Moving on to mixed anxiety states with depression. And then when it's now going to the major depression, whereby you are now having to see that life is not worth living, as I always mention, worthlessness, hopelessness, and all those type of signs, then you know that there is need to seek attention. But that time, you may not be able to listen to anybody anymore.
Wow.
Family must have to intervene in that regard.
So which means that we must be very observant of the people that we live with, the people we work with. We must show some love, concern,
when you get to
care.
That level, it has to be, family must have to intervene. If not, he may starve himself to death. He may be mute and not talking to anybody. He may be very, sometimes he can even be homicidal. Homicide can come from it. That is to say, I will not die alone. I will go with somebody.
Wow.
That can continue to happen.
Wow.
So all those are issues that, and that is why it is very important that there is provision of supportive system at whatever level. For instance, in our environment, yeah, I still mentioned it, in a low income economy society like Africa, it's not well reported, these things. But in advanced societies, they have more of these conditions. And you can imagine somebody, most of those cases that you see boys getting guns and shooting in America, they must have been going through depression. You know what I mean? Sometimes, maybe some voices are working on their heads. And mental health services in those countries, a lot of people don't have access to mental health services. You know what I mean? And it's expensive also to consult a psychiatrist or a psychologist. It's very expensive for sessions to pay.
All right.
Here in our environment, it is easier here. And that's why we are talking at the primary health care level, you must have a supportive system or a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a psychiatric nurse that can identify the case. You understand me? From the initial cases, right from the beginning, from primary health care, that this one has a problem. It's not only a woman that has just given birth and has this popular blues or depression that thinks that she wants to kill her child. You know, it happens. Infanticide.
Wow.
After killing her child, she kills herself also. It's not only at that case alone that you identify it, but at the primary care level, which is part of the primary prevention for these conditions. You understand me?
Yes, sir. All right. Okay. Let's move to something else you mentioned earlier, and this is the issue of attempted suicide.
Yes.
The organization that we're working with, Suicide is No Solution Initiative, is talking about why would you take somebody who has attempted suicide to court? That person surely needs help. So why would they take, you know, you to court? Is it not obvious that that person has a problem? What's your own take on this? Should the person be taken to court?
That is part of what we are discussing, that the government should be able to see in terms of getting the mental bill across. Once you're able to get that, all those clauses, you know, our laws are obsolete. We are using laws of the colonial days, 1914. And it's the same in Nigeria. Yeah.
Mental health bill.
Yes, the laws we are using still the same old. So you have to go to the court to swear affidavit that this individual was actually having this type of a problem. And because of that, you want to take him to an asylum. Those are lunacy laws. But the world has gone beyond lunacy. Many of the lunatics are politicians and all over businessmen today. So I mean, many of them. Look at ritualists, for instance. They are all mental people, cutting people's hands and saying they want to make money from rituals. Those are schizophrenics, for instance. But people believe that you can use human parts to make certain things and show that's homicide. It's criminal.
Wow.
It's criminal.
Okay, let's look at something else quickly. Now, the people who lose loved ones. For example, you know, a family member commits suicide.
Okay.
Within the Nigerian system, what kind of post trauma care do we have? We've had complaints that, look, this woman lost her child, the child committed suicide, or the daughter committed suicide, or the son committed suicide, or, you know, a family member, and now you are left to mourn, you are left to sulk. There's no organized way of, you know, taking care of such a person.
Well, you know, in our culture, suicide is stigma. It's stigma. You cannot tell anybody that the father committed suicide when he was alive. And you want them to, you want it, your own son to marry from that family. Listen to me. So those things are not actually been, you keep it, it's a family secret. You understand me? So you don't celebrate it at all.
But suicide also has family history issues. I've read up to that point where they say
yes, suicide can be history of it, but it's not celebrated in the open that the family is they kill themselves there, they die by killing themselves there. You will believe that he must have committed some criminal conditions, some criminal cases, and that's why, because of shame, he decides to kill himself or end his life. That is a stigma on his own. Or if it's not because of shame, he must have been suffering from some underlying psychiatric conditions, like mental problem, like depression, like schizophrenia, like abnormal personality disorders, or he must have killed somebody that instead of being caught, he decided to kill himself at the same time. You understand my point?
Wow. It looks like there's a whole lot more that we need to talk about in Nigeria.
So when you have people with partiality, we call them deliberate self-harm.
Deliberate self-harm.
Yes, deliberate self-harm. That's the name of parasuicide. We call it mental deliberate self-harm. Because he actually has harmed himself by taking noxious substances, by cutting himself with the wrist, okay? By using some, I had a case of a young boy, 29-year-old, and listen to me.
I'm with you, sir.
Who actually was discovered to be, the parents never knew that he was homosexual. Are you listening to me?
Yes, I'm with you.
And the lover left him. Are you listening to me?
I'm with you.
After he discovered that he was HIV positive.
Wow.
And they all live in the same house, father, mother, and children. He's still a quiet boy, he doesn't go out. So in the night, he decided to kill himself by wanting to strangulate himself with a rope. And with the pain, as I mentioned, he shouted in the night, and they went to this room. And then by the time they removed the rope from his neck, and he was talking, then they found out that he was, number one, homosexual. Number two, he was HIV positive. You know what I mean? So what, the family started to cry. Now they did not know what to do. Are you listening to me?
I'm with you, sir.
But for instance, we have a lot of, thank God, we have a lot of NGOs around in Lagos now that are very supportive for such group. It was a part, and those people took over the case. Are you listening to me now?
I'm with you, sir.
And that works very well and effective in sorting out such things, because you have to look for those agencies that are supporting people with such a case. For instance, if somebody knows that it's HIV positive, it's not a death sentence anymore. But many people don't even know that you can still get treatment out of it. So he believes that since he's been rejected, he must just end his life. Okay?
All right.
Or somebody with cases that are incurable, elderly, for instance, suffering.
Like terminal diseases,
He wants to. He has to die. He wants to die. He has lived a good life, but now he's lonely. Loneliness is number one. Loneliness. Lack of care. People have not been paid salaries for months. You understand me? Who has enjoyed a very good life in the past. But now, everything is just hopeless. The children have abandoned him. The wife have abandoned him. He's left alone. He wants to die, but he doesn't know how to die. You understand my point? Now, so he goes to the chemist to look for what is it that can make somebody to sleep and not wake up. You see, that is getting to the level now in Nigeria now today. And that why I'm happy that this program you are having is very enlightening.
Yes.
It's very educative. It's very supportive and therapeutic.
All right. Thank you very much. I think you just closed the program for us, Dr. Harry Ladakwo. Thank you very much. Dr. Ladakwo is a former chief medical director at the Psychiatric Hospital Yaba. Thank you very much for being a part of today's celebration of the World Suicide Prevention Day on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. And I think that we need to also commend our partners Suicide is No Solution initiative for putting all of this together, and I'm sure that they've been on other media platforms to discuss this all important issue, the menace of Spirit of Nigeria Radio. I hope and I believe that when we call you again on any other subject, I'm sure you will be willing to give us this plenty of information that you've shared with us on the menace of suicide. Thank you very much, Dr. Larapo.
God bless you. Thank you. Have a nice day.
This life, I can't keep myself. I can't keep myself. I can't keep myself. Allow me to flex. Many years me I done the good. Rock the mic, me I rock the show. Many hit songs when I go. Still them go say me another try. I see them complain of Kanye West. In speaking mind the people best. Everybody wants to be the best.